Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, 'The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven.' Then Jesus said to them, 'Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed among the path, where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, 30, 60, or 100 times what was sown." Will I have a song? Continuing with verse 21. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." "Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And even more, whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whenever he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. Thus saith the Lord.
So to what can we compare the kingdom? It's what Jesus said. And well, I love parables. Don't you love these parables? I mean, stories. They remind me a little bit of fables that you might have heard when you were growing up, right? The tortoise and the hare. You see, I can imagine, you know, that most of the time, sermons take the form of, diatribes or lectures, perhaps. But when a pastor or a speaker uses a story, it connects with us on a different level. Now, when I say the words, the parable or the story or the fable, I'm sorry, the fable of the tortoise and the hare, and I were to ask you, what is the moral to the story, without having told you the story? What is the moral to the story? Slow and steady wins the race. All right, good. See, those things are so ingrained to us. And story has a way of doing that for us. And if someone were to tell you the story of the tortoise and the hare, of course, the meaning would be readily apparent to you, even if you'd never heard it before. It's pretty obvious from the story exactly what the point is. But that's the danger you see in comparing parables to fables, because we might miss out on what the intention of teaching in parables really is. Anyone remember what Jesus says? Why he only speaks in parables to the crowds? It's a quote from the prophet Isaiah, okay? And the reason is so that the people in hearing will not understand. And so in laying their eyes on these things, they won't see it. And in hearing it, they won't hear what the meaning is behind it. Why? Because they might turn and be saved. Now, if that isn't just completely blowing up everything that we believe about what Jesus is trying to do here. I've always thought of the parables as being there so that we will understand, so that we will believe, so that we will be saved. And yet Jesus is saying here that he's speaking in parables so that this sort of obstruction will take place. And honestly, the parables of Jesus, well, they're not always the easiest things for us to understand, even when we are told what they mean. Let me give you an example. A farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was sowing, some of the seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. And some of the seed fell on rocky soil, and there it sprung up quickly, but when the sun came out, it was scorched, and it withered and died. And still, some seed fell among the thorns, where when it grew up, it was choked to death. And yet, some seed fell on good soil, and it produced a harvest, 30, 60, 100 times what was sown. Let those who have ears to hear, hear what the Spirit is saying. Now, who can tell me the meaning of this parable? Well, Jesus, behind closed doors with his disciples, tells them what the parable means. The farmer sows the word, and the word falls on the path where nothing happens to it, right? The evil of this world comes and eats it right up without anything happening. And some of the seed falls on the rocky soil, and it grows up quickly. This is the person who hears and believes with joy, but then the worries of this world come and burn it away. And still some falls among thorns, and it grows up, but then the thorns, the worries, the evils of this world choke out its life, suck it dry. But some of that word falls in good soil and produces this harvest of faithfulness that grows far beyond what it originally was in the life of the believer. Now that you know the meaning, who can tell me what it means? See, it's, yeah. Who does? Okay, Jesus sows the seed. Some of us accept. And some of us do not accept. Okay, so there is one possible idea, that Jesus sows the seed. All right, anyone else? Mike.
We should spread the word to everyone, and some people will stick and grow, and some people won't.
Okay, so we are the farmers then, and we are the ones who sow the word, and some people it might grow up in, and others it might not. Okay, good. Anyone else have an idea? We might be the dirt, right? And perhaps we're rocky, and perhaps we're thorny, and perhaps we are good soil, and perhaps the idea of the story is that we're supposed to nourish ourselves in such a way as to be good soil. All good interpretations. So which one of them is right? Ah. See, this is the great thing about the parables of Jesus, is there are so many different layers of possibility in this, and each one of them is true. Each one of them could be right. So how is it that we come to understand what the meaning of these parables is? Not because we heard them once and walked away, but because of the relationship that we have with the one who tells the story. Jesus said to those first disciples, "Come and follow me." When he heals people of their diseases, and when he casts out demons, what does he tell them? Don't tell anyone about what has happened here. Why? Because the point is in the message and the relationship of that message to the messenger. Those who hear are compelled to come and follow along. And so the meaning is revealed to those who hear it behind closed doors. There's something invitational about these parables. I can just imagine Jesus there by the seashore and standing in the boat so that when these crowds get so big, they don't crush him, so he can just row out a little ways. But he's in a farming community, and so he's looking around. He's on this boat. He's maybe up a little bit higher. He can see across the countryside, and here he sees a man who is out, and he's planting seeds in his field. And he says, you know, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who plants seed. And whether he goes to sleep or whether he gets up, the seed grows. And he doesn't know how it happens. Sure, he might tend the soil, but the seed grows and, well, whether he does anything to it or not, it still happens to grow. How mysterious, how wondrous. The kingdom of God is like, well, you see that mustard tree over there? It started out as the tiniest of seeds. And yet, when it was planted there and grew up, it produced a tree so large that the birds of the air could make their nest in it. Whoever has ears to hear the wonder of this message about the kingdom of God, let them hear. The wonderful thing about parables Of course, the most wonderful thing at all, of all in this, is the presence of the Spirit in the midst of all of this. Remember, from early on in our study of Mark, that at Jesus' baptism, the heaven is ripped open. And Debbie gave me a hard time about ripping up one of her newsletters that she worked so hard on. Because it's not replaceable, it's not repairable. Once God is at loose in the world, nothing is ever the same again. The time has come. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fish for people. And so the image that I want us to leave here with today, even though all three of the interpretations we heard of the sower are true, the one that I want us to walk away from here today is the one that Mike pointed out to us. Mike gets the gold star for the day. Don't let her hear about it all day, though. You see, we can't help but sow. Those of us who have seen and heard the things that we have seen and heard, the new life that we have experienced through the power of this Holy Spirit who messes with us at the very deepest levels of being of who we are, when we are out there in the world, we're like this farmer. See, when I think about this farmer, I think, what a terrible waste of seed. Why doesn't he dump all of his seed in the good soil? What is there, like a hole in the bag or something that some seed is, you know, I'm no farmer, believe me. I'm as bad as Wendy at growing things. But even I know if I take a bag of seed and dump it in the middle of the parking lot, nothing is going to grow there. I at least know that you're supposed to put it on the dirt. So what is this, like the worst farmer ever? Most wasteful? Well, what if the farmer can't tell the difference between a path, rocky soil, thorns, and good soil? And just goes out and indiscriminately sows this word. Well, folks, in all that we say and in all that we do, we are sowers of this seed of the word. The promise of God's kingdom. To everyone that we meet, those who are in this congregation, those who are at our places of work, those who are down at the bridge club, you know, whatever it is that we do, those who that we're in school with. I don't know if we have any bridge players or not. But you get the idea, right? That all different kinds of soil exist, and you can't necessarily tell just by looking at it what it is. And so, the responsibility of sowing that seed, living our lives as people of faith, giving testimony of the reason why we live our lives the way that we do, the reason why our values are the way that they are, to what can we compare the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is like a grand piano that, though a very small hammer pounds a very small string, the sound that it makes fills an entire room. In our world are illustrations of the coming of God's kingdom. And it used to be when someone would ask me the question, where do you see God at work in the world? I would have trouble because I expected that God's work must be so blatantly obvious in huge ways, right? A person who is diagnosed with terminal cancer suddenly goes into remission. you know, or other miraculous things taking place. That those were the only ways that God might be at work in the world. But I've come to experience something different, in that the more you hear these parables, the more you hear and see that in ordinary things, in ordinary ways, the kingdom of God is present, and the Spirit is at work doing extraordinary things. And so my prayer for us is that as we live into these parables and as we live into this good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ through our study of the book of Mark, that we would come to see and experience the ways that God's kingdom is at hand. That we would be able to point to instances and say, that is a parable of God's kingdom. That we would see the small points of light and grace in our world and be able to say with certainty, the kingdom of God is at hand. The time is fulfilled. And what should we do but repent and believe the good news? Let us pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for giving us parables of your kingdom all around us, for constantly revealing yourself to us. We pray that we might see, that we might hear, we might be compelled to follow, that we might understand the power of this coming kingdom. Help us to see in the ordinary things of life the extraordinary things that you have in store for us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. If you're able to stand, please stand with me now as we profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you can find printed in your bulletin or up on the screens. People of God, what do we believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy universal church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.